think that certainly the wonderful turnout that we have had speaks well of the fact of our honored guests being here with us, and also the people's interest in the state of Florida for the University of Florida. We consider it an honor for the active chapter to prepare a meeting place for such a distinguished group of people. This year's homecoming slogan, "Gators Appear on the New Frontier," we believe exemplifies three major areas in which this university will be called on to provide leadership in the state of Florida in the future. The first frontier that we picture or conceive is that of education. This frontier is exemplified by the wonderful facilities, the fine faculty, and the wonderful administration which is assembled here on these grounds at this university. The second frontier is that of space, and with our own great state being selected as a site for the shots to the moon, certainly this university will be called on to provide an even greater share of leadership in this important and exciting endeavor. The third major area which we would like to picture tonight is that of politics, exemplified by the distinguished group of state officials we have here, beginning with the governor on down through our local controls in the local areas, and of course our distinguished Vice President of the United States. As our state continues to grow, our educational facilities must be expanded. And in order to do this, we, the members of Florida Blue Key, have pledged ourselves to serve this University of Florida. And we encourage each of you to renew the dedication, which I'm sure you have exemplified in the past, and that is to serve this university and to encourage your friends to serve this university in every way possible. 2 years ago, the active chapter of Florida Blue Key felt that certain professors on the campus should be recognized for their superior academic contributions. And we are happy to come to this part in our program tonight when we are going to honor four such men. These men, in order to be eligible for recognition, must meet certain basic requirements. Among these are at least 5 years' service in teaching at the University of Florida. They must have made academic contributions which have been recognized by their own college and by other universities and colleges throughout the United States. And thirdly, and perhaps most important of all, they must have gained the respect and the admiration of the students who sit before them and reap the knowledge which they have. As I call the names of these people whom we are going to recognize tonight, I'm going to ask them to come to the front of the platform here. And we're going to ask perhaps one of Florida's most distinguished alumni ever, the Honorable Spencer Dale Holland, if he will present these certificates to these people. Each certificate will read as follows. In recognition of his significant contributions both to his profession and to the academic life of the students of the University of Florida, Florida Blue Key is privileged to present this certificate in appreciation this, the 27th day of October, 1961 A.D. Active members of the chapter will escort the following people to the platform at this time. Dr. Robert E. Carlson, Professor of Humanities and Lecturer in Music and Art at the University of Florida Humanities Department. Dr. Carlson. I think that Dr. Carson had to leave for a brief moment, and I'm sorry that we've spliced into the program here when he wasn't here, but certainly he is one of our distinguished people, and of course his certificate will be presented to him. The second person which we wish to recognize tonight is Dr. Armin H. Grupp, Professor of Chemistry and Assistant Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences. Our third honored professor tonight is a professor of political science, Dr. Ernest T. Bartley. Buck the bargain. Also selected for recognition this year is Dr. Ants Oras, Professor of English here at the University of Florida. Dr. Oras. Now comes the time to perhaps give to the man who has the most difficult part of any homecoming celebration here at the University of Florida. Turn the reins of this program over to him, and that is our Toastmaster. Tonight I think that I have something in common with our Toastmaster, perhaps his small hometown of Bluntstown and my hometown of Trenton, or some of the smallest towns in the state of Florida, but that is where the similarity ends, because certainly our Toastmaster tonight has gone on to distinguish himself in this state as few others have. He has moved to, of course, a big city and distinguished himself in practice in the profession of law in Miami. He has also distinguished himself certainly as a wonderful and great orator, known by throughout the state of Florida for his ability to sway and hold audiences. And certainly he has distinguished himself as a public servant, having served as a governor of this great state. I haven't always held our Toastmaster tonight in such high regards, because as you remember, a few years ago when he was governor, he was responsible for passing a law that made it necessary for me to work my way through college. What I mean by this is, although he saved many tourist lives, no doubt, with his no-fence law, he put my family out of the cow business and made it necessary for me to work my way through college. We certainly are privileged tonight, though, to welcome back to our university a man who certainly distinguished himself when here on the campus. He was a member of the boxing team in connection with many other extracurricular activities. It was known, common knowledge throughout the campus at that time that our Toastmaster knew more people on campus by their individual names than any other person, any other individual on the campus. It was certainly a warm privilege of mine to welcome now the Honorable Fuller Warren, Governor of the State of Florida, who will serve as our Toastmaster. Been told that you might not be able to hear in the back. Can you hear in the back okay? Oh, everything's okay. Fine. Governor, take her away.
Mr. President Quincy, Mr. Vice President, distinguished guests, distinguished audience, my friends and fellow Democrats. My very first humble, halting, faltering words, I want to try to tell you how grateful and honored I am for the privilege of raising my humble and provincial voice before this impressive congregation of distinguished intellectuals. Grateful as I am for this undeserved, I may say unsought honor, one of the few honors I ever received that I didn't seek, grateful as I am, I realize how unworthy I am to fill this place here today. I am oppressed with a sense of my inadequacy when I look at this speaker's stand and look at this audience. And I see many men now, the laces of whose oratorical shoes I'm unworthy to stoop down and tie up. But in spite of that sense of inadequacy, I must attempt to carry on. Lord, I have been selected for this task. I ask you. Thank you very much, friends, for your applause. You've started early and started vigorously. And if I don't badly misgauge this massive audience and in this impressive edifice, there's still a lot of pent-up applause here. Let me say to you, friends, any time when I have the podium and you feel an irresistible urge to applaud, go ahead and do it. Don't break my train of thought. But seriously, friends, as we assemble again amid these almost sacred scenes that are hallowed by a thousand tender memories for most of us, I'm sure that we have emotions that can hardly be put into words. I know I can't put them into words. But more than 60 years ago, another great Southern orator expressed the feelings that... I pause while you get that, friends. I pause. He expressed some thoughts, beautiful, tender, moving, mellifluous thoughts, that I believe express the unexpressed feelings of nearly every person who has been to the University of Florida. On June 25, 1889, the South's greatest journalist and its most eloquent son, Henry W. Grady, spoke at the University of Virginia. And he spoke these words, and I hope you'll indulge me while I quote them, as being expressive of the feelings of nearly all of us here. On that memorable occasion, that great and gifted man spoke these words, "I thank you for this cordial, this Virginia welcome. Let me say that it satisfies my heart to be with you today. This is my alma mater." Kind and the tolerant patience with which he winnowed the chaff of idle days and idle nights, that she might find for me the grain of knowledge and of truth. Kinder still, that her old heart has turned lovingly, after a lapse of 20 years, to her scapegrace son in a distant state, and recalling him with this honorable commission, has summoned him to his old place at an eve. Here at her feet, with the glory of her presence breaking all about me, let me testify that the years have but deepened my reverence and my love, and that my heart is acknowledged the magical tenderness of the emotions first kindled amid these sacred scenes. That which was unworthy has faded. That which was good has abided. I believe that expresses the feeling of every person who has had the privilege and benefit and blessing of attending this blessed university. Now, friends, in a little lighter vein, let me say that for 56 years, the University of Florida has been producing leaders of this state. They produce leaders of courage. They produce men who had the stamina to take a forthright stand on the hottest kind of issues in this state. I know we're all grateful that the University of Florida hasn't incubated any public servants such as one other state has. Rather, he wasn't a public servant, he just sought to be. He was kind of like myself. I've been a candidate for public office 11 times. I bit the dust of defeat 5 times. That wouldn't be a bad average in baseball, but in politics, it's enough to cause you to be mandated out of politics, which I was. By the way, I want to interrupt myself to say this. We've got nearly as many volunteer candidates for governor here tonight we've got a large surplus of them. Don't get worried about me, my friends. I recognize the mandate that the people of Florida gave me in 56. But I want you to know how a candidate for public office in another state faced a stern issue. In Oklahoma, which I believe, Mr. Vice President, is sort of a suburb of Texas, they were having a campaign now. They asked one of the candidates how he stood on the pulsing and disturbing question of whiskey. And he gave him this answer. "You have asked me how I feel about whiskey. Here's how I stand on this question. If when you say whiskey, you mean the devil's brew, the poison scourge, the bloody monster that defiles innocence, dethrones reason, destroys the home, creates misery and poverty. Yes, literally takes the bread from the mouths of little children. If you mean the evil drink that sends Christian men and women from the paths of righteous, gracious living into the bottomless pit of degradation and despair and helplessness and hopelessness, then certainly I am against it with all my power. But if when you say whiskey, you mean the oil of conversation, the philosophic side, the side that is consumed when good fellows get together, that puts a song in their hearts and laughter on their lips, and the warm glow of contentment in their eyes. If you mean that drink, the sale of which pours into the treasuries untold millions of dollars, which are used to provide tender care for our little crippled children, for our blind, for our deaf, for our dumb, for our pitiful aged, and to build highways, hospitals, and schools, then certainly I'm in favor of it. This is my stand. I will not compromise. My friends, I want to say to you that we have no such people as that in Florida. Thank you very much, friends. Thank you very much. If I could have heard some of this applause about 5 years ago, it would have been a better situation. Friends, we've got just a little time to do a great many things in. Every person in this great audience here, one of the most massive congregations of intellect that ever assembled in this state or any of the other states of this indissoluble union, every one of you is distinguished enough to be entitled to an individual introduction. If you weren't distinguished, you wouldn't be here. But we haven't got time for them, so we'll just have to pick out a few persons who are symbolic or typical of this audience to be introduced. Ladies and gentlemen, I now have the pleasure of presenting to you in mass, sorry they can't be introduced individually, the members of the active chapter of the Florida Blue Key Society. Gentlemen, will you rise and let us see you? Give them a hand, will you, friends? We want to also introduce to you the homecoming staff, which is headed by a very splendid man who will probably someday sit in the second hottest chair in this state. Governor's chair, of course, the electric chair being a little hotter, and probably sit in the United States Senate. I want to present to you now Chairman Bob Perry and his homecoming staff. Will you rise, gentlemen, and let us applaud you, please. I apologize again, gentlemen, for not being able to give you introductions. I'd like to deliver a fulsome eulogy of 30 minutes on each one of you here, but time won't permit it. I want to present to you the past presidents. Please be generous with your applause. Gentlemen, there's something pathetic about a superannuated politician. Maybe these are, maybe they're not, so maybe I'm speaking my own feelings here. We want to get the past presidents of Florida Blue Key. Rise up fast, gentlemen, to your feet. On your feet there, quick, will you? That's very fine. By the way, Bob Perry comes from the little gateway city, Jacksonville, that for more than a century has given this state unterrified political leadership. Our friends, I want to present to you now the man who seems destined to lead us to a great and surprising victory tomorrow afternoon. I won't go further because I saw a vision here 30 years ago that turned out to be a nightmare. I thought the Gators were going to win against Georgia. Or was it Georgia Tech? Then they beat us 55-0. I want to present to you the great coach here who has rehabilitated, revitalized, and resuscitated this football team, the Gators. Coach Ray Graves, give him a great hand, will you, friend? There is he. There is he. That's right. Ray, this program didn't provide for speaking time for you. I'll allow you 30 seconds if you want to come up. Also, I want to present to you the splendid captain. Ray, will you say a word? Come on up, son, in a hurry. I'll be going to something else. That's fine, friends. Friends? Friends, quiet, just a moment. The voice of the people has spoken here, Ray, so come on up and hear it, will you? I want to present to the captain while he's getting here, Jim Weaver. Jim, give you a hand, will you? Captain of the team.
Thank you, Mr. Postmaster. I'll tell you, this is not the group I would like to be talking to right now because I think Jim's the only one here with any eligibility left. And I'll tell you, we're going to need a lot of eligibility out there against the LSU, but we've had a good week's practice, and I know there's going to be a bunch of fighting Gators tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Ray, I like those short speeches, but never could make them, son, but admire you anyhow. Friends, I hope you will indulge me while I pause to take a sip of water. I don't have to have water while speaking. I don't require it. But that other great orator, William Jennings Bryan, used to pause, better yet to come, fellas, hold yourself a moment there, will you? He used to pause in the course of his coruscating flights in the blue empyrean of elevated oratory to take a sip of water. Bryan has gone on to glory. There's only one of us left, so in memory of Bryan, I'll take this sip of water. Huh? Folks, thanks very much for that applause. I'd have rather had it a few years back, but we haven't got time for it here. We've got a tight schedule, so just hold it a little while, will you? And give it in one mad, tempestuous outburst at the end here. The schedule says that Warren is supposed to present Dr. Wainwright's in 2 minutes. Well, I'm going to waive my right to use them 2 minutes to introduce Wainwright's and just say, here he is. Take over, Wayne.
Mr. Vice President, Governor Bryant, President Jim Quincy, other distinguished guests, and my brothers in Florida Blue Key, it is indeed a happy privilege for me to welcome you to this 1961 homecoming celebration, and I wish for each of you a very pleasant weekend. I would first like to express my appreciation to the Vice President of the United States for accepting our invitation to be with us this evening. Sir, you greatly honor us by your presence. To the active members of Florida Blue Key, I should like to express your appreciation as well as mine for the care with which they have planned this homecoming celebration and for the effective manner in which they're carrying it out. I would particularly like to single out President Jim Quincy, especially since he is being called to active duty in the armed services of the United States. He is deserving of much recognition for the leadership that he has given and the wonderful cooperation that he has received from his brothers in Florida Blue Key. And Jim, as you leave our campus Sunday morning to join your unit, our very best wishes go with you. Thank you. Last year on this occasion, I expressed deep concern over the future of this university if we did not face up to some of the urgent needs of higher education. I mention this tonight only to afford an opportunity to express my thanks to members of the legislature who recognized the most pressing of all needs and granted funds for substantial salary increases for our faculty, for each year of this biennium. For this, we are deeply grateful. We are also greatly encouraged over the steps being taken by Governor Bryant to ensure that some of our building needs are met in the immediate future. These actions all reflect an alert and progressive citizenry which supports our elective leaders in their efforts to assure that Florida will achieve its goal of ever improving the quality of its higher education. Indeed, this quest for excellence represents an exciting period in the history of higher education in Florida. I cherish this opportunity to greet you and to express these words of appreciation. Let me assure you that your university is ever striving to give the best possible education to the youth of this state. There is increasing evidence that the preparation and intellectual competence of our graduates is at a level of which you can all be justly proud. In our research program, there is an air of excitement and achievement. And in our public service activities, we shall continue to meet the pressing and vital needs of this state. This is in accordance with the mission of a state university and a land-grant college. And in connection with that, I would remind you that it is appropriate that in this year, 1961-62, we shall celebrate the centennial of the passage of the Land-Grant College Act. Again, welcome, and thank you for being with us.
As all of us know, this occasion is made memorable and historic by the presence here of the Vice President of the United States. I would like to say that in my humble but well-considered opinion, among the many great men that Texas has given to this nation, the four greatest are Sam Houston, John Nance Garner, Sam Rabin, and our own distinguished guest, Vice President Lyndon Johnson. I hope that... Our distinguished junior senator is to introduce him later on, and I'm not trying to muscle in on his territory or impinge on his jurisdiction, but I would like to speak the promptings and feelings of my heart by saying that I sincerely and devoutly believe that Vice President Johnson has made himself the greatest force in America for global goodwill. We all in his debt for the tremendous and historic and enduring service towards the goal of people everywhere, that is peace, that he's just rendered. I hope I may be indulged this personal intrusion by saying that I have had a feeling for Speaker Rabin for many years that amounted almost to reverence. And may I, in respect to that great man who lies fatally stricken tonight, read a telegram that was sent to him by one of his most ardent and admirers. Dear Mr. Speaker, glad to read you a better today. It was written a few days ago. Without you, millions of your friends and admirers would feel as lonely as you said you did 70 years ago when you spent Sunday afternoons sitting alone on the rail fence around your father's farm at Bonham, hoping somebody would come by. All Americans live better because you served all of America so well. We all praying for you. Ladies and gentlemen, I now have the pleasure and honor of presenting to you a beloved and distinguished and venerable former president of the University of Florida. I would be presumptuous of me, a man deep in the dark recesses of political oblivion, to offer to introduce him to you, so I have just the honor and pleasure of presenting to you our beloved former president, John J. Tiger. Brother Tiger, will you take a bow? I know that warmed Dr. Tiger's heart and made him feel that the many years of consecrated service that he devoted to this university is not unappreciated. None of us will ever forget that he was all Southern for Vanderbilt a few years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you the president of the student body of the University of Florida, Honorable Conrad Demereaux. Brother Demereaux, rise and listen to that musical applause. Pardon me, just a moment. Alumni Association, that's right. Alumni, where is he? Where is he? Brother Demereaux. Trying to make myself think I don't need these glasses here. Better get them back on or get further off the track. I want to present to you now the past presidents of the University of Florida Alumni Association. As I say again, it wrings my heart that we don't have time to introduce all of them individually, but we just haven't got it. I want to introduce them as a group. Will every past president of the University of Florida Alumni Association please rise and let us pay your homage? That's right, fine. Very good.